blessed us with. We thank you for this time of year, this season, in reference to the virgin birth. God becoming man, not man becoming God. We thank you for your great love that brought about this virgin birth. We thank you that Jesus Christ grew up and became our Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you that He paid our sin debt in full. What a gift He gave us. He paid our sin debt in full so we would not have to pay it. And the truth is, we couldn't pay it. So we have so many things to thank our Heavenly Father for, and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We are thankful to be here this morning, beginning a new year very soon, better than last year. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give us the spiritual understanding we need of your spiritual word, that we may function properly in your spiritual kingdom that we are in as children of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Give us understanding of revelation once again this morning, that we may truly understand it, that it will elevate us more to Christ's likeness. We are thankful for everyone that is here. We ask a special blessing upon each and every one of them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you'll take your printout, you'll notice it is Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to talk about a little bit about the seven seals. Now, this is like a big Sunday school this morning, so we're going to exegete this more than we normally would. I hope you have a pen or pencil to write with or underline some words. The seven seals, there's three things before we get started that I would like for us to know. Number one, severe judgment is coming. Severe judgment is coming from God. It is going to be non-negotiable. He is going to give every believer exactly what they have asked for. Number two, but God has everything under control, even Joe Biden. So don't let that bother you at all. God has everything under control. And thirdly, God is working out His final plan. God is working out His final plan. Now let's begin looking at verses 1 and 2, Revelation chapter 6. Then I saw. Underline the word saw. Let me ask you a question. Are you seeing what John is seeing? Do you see what John sees? Then I saw as the Lamb. Underline the word Lamb. He did not see deity in diapers. He did not see deity in diapers. There are so many Christians, they love the virgin birth, but they stop right there also. But the baby in the manger did not stay deity in diapers. That baby got out of the manger, and that baby began to grow. That baby was the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He came. Then I saw as the Lamb, this is the sacrificial Lamb, which is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, broke one of the seven seals of the scroll, initiating the judgments. Again, judgments that are going to come from the very hand of God. And I heard. Well, underline the word heard. Are you willing to hear what John hears also in this passage of Scripture? Then I, John, saw. Then I, John, also heard simultaneously. Then I saw as the Lamb, Christ, He broke one of the seven seals of the scroll, initiating the judgments that come from God. Therefore, once again, they are non-negotiable. And I heard one of the four living creatures call out as with a voice of booming thunder, the Greek says. And it says, come. Underline the word come. The word come in the Greek language is a command. It is not given to John. It is given to the four horsemen. Come, and I looked, and behold, a white horse. Underline horse. Horses, represent God's activity on earth. Horses represent God's activity on earth. So God is very active in the judgments that are coming on planet earth. I looked and behold a white horse of victory, whose rider carried a bow, and a crown of victory was given to him. Underline the word given. The word given refers to divine permission that is given to the Antichrist to carry out the final plan of Almighty God. And he rode forth, underline the two words, rode forth. It means he rode forth and will ride forth across the world stage. A, the opening of the first seal begins the tribulation. Tribulation. The opening of the first seal begins the tribulation period. Now, what is the tribulation? It is a 7-year span. It is a 7-year span. It is following the rapture. Underline the word rapture. It means to seize or snatch away. Now, how fast is the rapture going to take place? Well, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it will take place in the twinkling of an eye. So before you can blink your eyes, the rapture has taken place. So what is the tribulation? It is a 7-year span. It is going to follow the rapture of the church. Underline the word church. The word church does not refer to a physical building, but it refers to believers that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, if you'll go back in your history, church history, the church began on the day of Pentecost. It will end at the rapture. So every believer that has received Christ from the day of Pentecost on to the rapture is going to be caught up here in the rapture of the church, in which God brings judgment. Underline the word judgment. This is divine judgment. Again, non-negotiable. He's going to bring it to earth. This is planet earth, in order to reclaim it. Now, once the church is in heaven, underline the word heaven. We're talking about the third heaven where God dwells. And worshiping around God's throne, divinely wrought calamities will come upon the earth. Well, let's look at Jeremiah 2, 17 through 19. He says, have you not brought this on yourself by abandoning, parentheses, rejecting the Lord, your master, your God, when he led you in the way of freedom, but now you chose what? Slavery. Now, what are you doing by going to Egypt in search of an ally to drink the muddy waters of the Nile? Or what are you doing by going to Assyria in search of an ally to drink the muddy waters of the Euphrates? Your own wickedness will discipline you, and your desertion of the faith will punish you. Know therefore that it is an evil and bitter thing for you to abandon, that is, reject the Lord your God, and for you to be indifferent to me and dismiss the reverent fear of me, says the Lord God of hosts. Now those who rebelled against the Lord, let's reread it again, those who ignored his word found themselves threatened by external enemies and internal problems. The Lord said, it's not that I will punish you, rather it will be your own sin that will come back to bite you. So too the world has declared corporately, John 18:40, we will not allow this man to rule us. Now here's a side note. Don't kid yourself into believing that you can rebel against God without consequences. Don't kid yourself into believing. Now who's going to help you believe this? His name is Satan. And what is he going to work through to help you believe this? It's going to be the old sin nature. Does every believer have an old sin nature? The answer is yes. And when will they get rid of the old sin nature? at the day of death, rapture. All right, here we go. Do we want to do our own thing? The answer is yes. Do we want to call our own shots? The answer is yes. Do we want to live our own life? The answer is yes. And what is God's response? God says, be not deceived. In other words, don't be misled. And again, Satan and the old sin nature are going to be at work in you, bringing about this misleading. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not snubbed. He's not someone you turn your nose up at and get away with it. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. So how old does a man have to get, or how much does he have to go through before he finally realizes God's word is right? Here's another little side note, okay? You cannot snub the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. All right, let's go to page 2, the top of the page. You'll notice point 1, top of page 2. Chapter 6 is the account of mankind's sin coming back to bite him. For although Jesus is reclaiming the title deed to earth, sin still brings repercussions, still exacts a price. Now let's look at the rider on the white horse. I'll tell you before we get into it, the rider on the white horse here is not Jesus Christ. He is going to appear later in the book of Revelation. Now let's look at this rider on the white horse and let's describe him. Number one, this rider is a geopolitical leader. He will know his geography and he will know his politics. Number two, he's referred to elsewhere as the Antichrist. 1 John 2, 18 and 4-3. Children, it is the last hour, the end of this age. And just as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, the one who will oppose Christ and attempt to replace him, even now many Antichrists, that is false teachers, have appeared, which confirms our belief that it is the last hour. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus, that is acknowledging that he has come in the flesh. Now, has Jesus come in the flesh? What was the virgin birth? It was what? God becoming man right there. Did Jesus ever have an old sin nature? How is the old sin nature passed down? And you should know this. It is passed down through the seed of man, right? Did Jesus have a human father? The answer is no. So therefore, Jesus did not have an old sin nature. So listen closely. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus, that is acknowledging that he has come in the flesh, but would deny any of the Son's true nature. Was Jesus Christ the God-man? Did Jesus Christ, was he of the hypostatic union? Fully God and fully man. Yes, he was. Now, let's go back. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus, acknowledging that he has come in the flesh, but would deny any of the Son's true nature, is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. Number three, this Antichrist will insert himself in the world following the rapture and bring order out of chaos. Number four, will this person claim victory? Yes, he will. Number five, will this person gain world power? The answer is yes. Well, look at the word crown. I think we learned he was going to be given a crown. Notice he was given this crown by the Lord God himself to carry out the final plan of Almighty God. So let's look at the meaning of this. The word crown is here is stephanos, not diadem. A diadem is a permanent crown. A stephanos is a wreath made of olive branches that only lasts for a short while. Number six, are there any arrows with his bow? The answer is no. What does this represent? A bloodless coup. If you don't know what that is, open your eyes. There is one trying to take place as I speak. They tried to get Trump out. He did get voted out, but I'm going to tell you, I believe he may be back in. It will be by the grace of God if that happens to straighten some things out a little more and again. Now, let's look at seven. How will this Antichrist assume power? Through his strength. Who's going to give him his strength? Satan is going to give him his strength. Is God going to allow Satan's strength to be given to him? Absolutely. Then there's going to be through recognition and substance, but without resorting to violence initially, that is initially in the beginning. Now, B, will this sense of peace soon prove false? The answer is absolutely yes. Well, let's look at verses 3 and 4. When he, the Lamb, broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature call out, come. Now, he is not saying come to John. He is saying come to the next horseman. And another, a fiery red horse of bloodshed, came out. And its rider was empowered to take peace from the earth. Again, where is this power going to come from? God is going to allow it. God is going to give it. And I'll say this again and again. Therefore, coming from God, it is going to be non-negotiable. Man cannot stop what God has brought about and is going to bring about to carry out his final plan. And another, a fiery red horse of bloodshed, came out. And its rider was empowered to take peace from the earth so that men would slaughter. Underline the word slaughter, and it's going to be a worldwide turmoil. They will slaughter one another, and a great sword. Underline the word sword. In other words, there's going to be a great assassination. There's going to be a tremendous uprising, and there's going to be great warfare. So there's going to be a great sword of war and violent death was once again given to him. It is given, you can't take it away, and you can't stop it. Go to the top of page 3. Now the red horse following the white horse of Antichrist is war. Anyone who thinks there can be true political solutions to the world's problems is sadly mistaken. Politics is solely about gaining and maintaining power. From whence come wars and fightings, James asked? Come they not even from your own lust, from wanting power and wanting property? Truly, any man who thinks he can bring about peace politically, or any church that looks to the government for a solution to our country's problems, will be greatly disappointed. Power always brings war. This fiery red horse of the second seal represents chaos. Following initial peace to begin the tribulation, the world will devolve into violence. Violence like you and I have never seen before. With people beginning to slaughter one another. Like Adolf Hitler before him, the Antichrist is going to transition from pretending to be peaceful to wielding a large sword representative of his capacity to slay people. So God is going to allow unbelievers to be what? Slayed. He's also going to allow believers to be slayed. Now let's answer the question here. Will there be people saved during the 7-year tribulation period? Yes. The answer is yes. If you are saved during that time, will it more than likely cost you your life? All right. Will there be believers that will survive the 7-year tribulation period?
Yes.
All right. Now, if they survive, then what's going to follow the 7-year tribulation period? It's going to be the what? The millennial. What is the millennial? It's the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Will salvation be automatic during the 1,000 years? No, it will not. Will Jesus Christ be there in their presence? Yes. Will they hear the gospel presented to them? The answer is yes. So we see that salvation during the 1,000-year reign will not be automatic. They will still have to choose to receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Now, those that survive the 7-year tribulation in their bodies, they're not killed, they're not persecuted, they're going to walk into the millennial, the 1,000-year reign, in fleshly bodies. Since they're in fleshly bodies, just like you and I are going to have and have right now, what is it that is going to be there in their fleshly bodies? It's going to be the old sin nature. So the old sin nature will be in the physical bodies if those endure that walk into the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, so when babies are born during the 1,000-year reign, will they be born with an old sin nature? Where is Satan going to be at this time? He's going to be chained. He's going to be locked up. So no unbeliever can say, Satan made me do this. Satan is the cause of my unbelief. Do you find it hard to believe that Jesus Christ could stand right in front of you during that time and you're going to have what it takes to reject Him as Lord and Savior? Let me ask you something. If Jesus Christ walked into this auditorium in about 5 minutes and He walked right up to you and started talking to you about the gospel, how do you think you would respond? Would you say yes to Jesus? Not everybody's going to do that. Why do you think so? Is that old sin nature that powerful? Well, where's Satan? He's not going to insert any of his power in this situation. So please remember, they're in a perfect environment. The lion is going to lay down with the lamb. The children can play with water moccasins. They can play with rattlesnakes. I'll put it in East Texas language so you can understand it, because I still have a hard time with that. Okay, I would say, I'll tell you what, Moses or David, why don't you pick that up, okay? And then you can give it to me and I'll know everything's going to be okay. Now, as believers, will we be present during the 1,000-year reign? What's going to be our job during that time? Are we going to be witnesses? Are we going to share the gospel? Yes, we are, with those during that time that are unbelievers. So, everybody born into a perfect environment, everybody born into the privilege of being very close, right next to Jesus Christ, and hearing Him speak, no doubt, and call your name, not everybody's going to receive that. Not everybody's going to be saved. What happens to those who refuse to receive Christ as Lord and Savior? There is something coming. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. It sounds pretty, but please don't be deceived. The Great White Throne Judgment is where every unbeliever, every Christ rejecter, everyone that rebelled against Christ is going to stand. Will any excuse offered be accepted at the Great White Throne Judgment? No, it will not. So where are you going to go when the Great White Throne Judgment is over? You're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And you're going to be given a body that will not be consumed by fire. That's why you're going to be able to endure the lake of fire forever and forever and forever and not be consumed by the fire of that lake. Well, there's going to be something else. There's going to be a conscience. Going to be a conscience. And what do you think that conscience is going to say to you as you're in the lake of fire? What is it going to say? Remember? Remember when so-and-so witnessed to you? Remember when so-and-so presented the gospel to you? Remember when so-and-so came over to your house? Remember when so-and-so presented the love of Almighty God unto you? Remember when you were told that Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago paid your sin debt in full? And when it came to salvation, it wasn't about confessing sin. I'll be honest with you, good old Baptist. You can't remember all your sins. So it would be an incomplete confession. Is that correct? When the Holy Spirit comes to you, you are reminded that you are a sinner. You're born into sin. And you need the saving grace of God in your life to be saved, saved, saved. By grace through faith are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. That itself is a living hell to know that what was presented to you could have kept you from going to the lake of fire forever and forever and forever, but you chose to be your own little G-O-D and do your own little thing, and you thought, you know what? I know everything there is to know. And I can handle everything. That is a lie straight out of hell. I'll tell you that today. We need to listen. Deity in diapers. He ain't there no more. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's the Judge. Back to the printout, please. The parallel to Hitler is instructive. Because the German Chancellor rose to power amid the turbulence of the Great Depression by building consensus and support before his administration devolved into violence and dictatorship. Sound familiar? You have a government at this moment that is allowing violence to go deeper and deeper into our societies and the life of humanity. They would love to be a dictatorship and control everything about you. They would love to take your check and keep the majority of it and give you just a small amount of it. My friends, be careful. You've got to stand up for Jesus. It's okay to talk about socialism. It's okay to talk about Marxism. It's okay to talk about communism. It's okay to say, Merry Christmas, God bless you. It's okay to stand up in the face of Black Lives Matter and the woke and say, we are believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our King. Jesus Christ is our leader. Jesus Christ is the one we're going to follow. Jesus Christ is the one we choose to love. Jesus Christ is the one we choose to be saved by. And therefore, we are not going to bow down to your kind of politics and your kind of liberalism. It is time to stand up again to Washington and say, we're not taking it anymore. It is time to vote them out. I'm not even sure of Republicans anymore. I'm not sure of anybody on Capitol Hill anymore. We need men who have guts. We need men who are very strong in their spirit life. We need men who belong to Jesus and are not afraid to speak it. That's the kind of men we need, and women, in Washington, D.C., to be leaders of our country. Because we are here. How much longer we have, I do not know. Is Jesus Christ coming back? Again, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 50, says the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Jesus Christ in the air. My friends, I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ comes back, there will be no time enough to make a profession of faith, because you can't make a profession of faith in the blink of an eye or in the twinkling of an eye. There's just not enough time. So you hear the call today, and the call goes out as you look at this. Let's look here at verses 5 and 6. When he, the Lamb, that is the sacrificial Lamb of Almighty God, broke open the third seal, I heard the third living creature call out, "Come." It is a command. I looked, and behold, a black horse of famine, and the rider had in his hand a pair of scales, a balance. And I heard something like a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, which is a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine." Now, you can write this down or just listen. A man could work all day and have only enough food for himself. I want this to sink in. A man could work all day and have only enough food for himself. Here's Dad, and Dad is coming home. He's worked all day. He's doing his best to try and feed his family. So he walks in the door. He's got just enough food for one person. He's got a family of six. He's got a wife. Who gets the meal today? Who gets to look at the meal, wishing they had some of it, but there's not enough for more than one person? Daddy's working. Do you think Daddy needs it? Does Daddy need the strength? Does he need the muscle? Does he need the perseverance? Does he need that bodily strength to go out and make another day tomorrow? So do you go to bed and you talk to your wife and say, "Hun, who gets the meal tomorrow? If the little baby doesn't get fed, how long will it live? If our little children are not getting anything to eat, how long will they live? And if I don't get to eat, how long will I live? And if I die, who's going to bring home what little amount we have from my day's wages?" I'm giving you reality. This is no fairy tale. This is the way it's going to be in the 7-year tribulation period. You will have a government, and the Antichrist will not give a damn about you. And if you think it's going to be fun, you better reread it again. Which one of your children will you choose to die? The one that looks at you with big eyes? The one that you like to hear coo at you? The one you got out of the bath water and held up against you, smelled so good and felt so soft? How many will you put in the ground? How many tears will you weep over every child that you once had? And what kind of conversation, Mom and Dad, will you have when the children are not listening and you're trying to decide who goes next? I wish I could tell you something different, but it ain't so. You say, "Terry, that's a long ways away." You know what? How many of you ever thought you would be under this kind of government today? You thought this was a long ways off. Is it important to share Jesus?
Yes.
Absolutely. Because once the church age is over, and remember, the church age began on the day of Pentecost, still in at the rapture. Once that age is over and the rapture has taken place, it ain't coming back. The 7-year tribulation begins, and you can't change it. And if you receive Christ during that 7-year tribulation and read and study the information pertaining to that, more than likely it will cost you your life. You know why? Because you won't take the mark of the beast. And if you don't take the mark of the beast, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't do anything. It's just death. Even though there will be those that do make it through by the grace of God. So what is Christmas all about? Not just deity and dabbers. For that baby grew up. Let's go back and read a little more and then we'll end. A, under 5 and 6. This third seal heightens the world chaos, bringing economic instability to the tribulation period, a reality depicted by a black horse whose rider holds a set of scales. Inflation will be so severe that a quart of wheat and three quarts of barley each will cost a day's wage. Let me tell you something. When you talk about barley, there's not much nutrition there. Which was a denarius in Roman currency. In addition to seizing control politically, the Antichrist will take over the world's economic order. Whether global economic instability sets the stage for his control or it is the result of it is unclear. Sinking in. It's like a message from hell, isn't it? You know what? It is hell. And it's coming. God said. And you know what? It's part of His plan. It's part of His plan. So it's time to take Christianity serious. For salvation of Christ, that's the best gift you'll ever receive. Because it's eternal. And it'll take you home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ eternally. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day.